is famous for his canticle of Brother Sun and Sister Moon. And in the words of Pope John Paul, this saint not only became a brother to every human being, but to all animate and inanimate creatures. Francis of Assisi, whose feast day we celebrate this week, is one of the world's most widely known and best-loved saints. He's honoured as the saint of ecology and animals and birds, and is also Italy's patron saint. Francis was born in the late 12th century and gave up a life of wealth and privilege to become a hermit and then shortly afterwards a preacher. In his life and his preaching, he emphasised simplicity and poverty, and he was soon joined by other friars. In the year 1209, after receiving papal permission, Francis became the founder of a new religious order, the Franciscan Order of Preaching Friars. Shortly before the end of his life, Francis received the stigmata, or the wounds of Christ. But why did such a gentleman as St. Francis was have such a powerful influence? And what is it that attracts somebody to become a Franciscan friar today? To find out more, I spoke to Father John Quigley, a Franciscan priest and long-time activist in the field of human rights, justice and ecology, who leads groups of pilgrims to Assisi each year to retrace the footsteps of St. Francis.
Francis wrote a lot. It's surprising how many little documents he left. But most times his prayer, his writing, his praise of God in a very powerful way. For me, one of the most powerful things he wrote was his last will and testament. And in there, he speaks of the thing that really changed his life, that where he really turned around, was when he embraced a leper outside of Assisi. And at that time, everything that was very repulsive and distasteful to him turned around into sweetness and light. He marks that as the conversion. The other thing is, at the end of his life, he told the friars that I have done what I was supposed to do, and now may God and God's mercy show you what you are supposed to do. This request, this command by Francis, is a very powerful thing for friars even today, because it says that we're not supposed to just imitate him, copy him in different ways, like the way he dressed, the way he did different things. But we are to each find out what is it that we are supposed to do in God's plan in front of God.
Another thing about St. Francis was that he was the first, after Christ himself, to have the stigmata, wasn't he?
He's the first recorded person that we know, and we don't know of too many other people who have the stigmata the same way that Francis did. This is a very powerful sealing of a relationship that he had with Jesus. It happened up in Laverna, Mount Laverna, and it happened near the end of his life when he was very, very famous. He was known as a very powerful preacher. So the stigmata is a very profound experience in his life. It wasn't just a little reward thrown in at the end by God to a life that was well lived. It complicated his life, because after that he was bleeding five parts of his body, his hands, his feet, his side, and he had to keep them bandaged all the time. He was in very poor health. His spirit was kind of crushed because of the way the friars were behaving and not being as faithful to his commitment of poverty. And so the stigmata was something that, in a way, was more of a distraction. It was more of a burden for him rather than a glorious recognition of his life.
There's so much about the life of St. Francis that is admirable, but what did you especially like about him? What, as a result, first attracted you to become a Franciscan?
From a very early age, I think I was about 7 years old, I wanted to be a priest in London, Ontario, in Canada. And I was planning to join the diocesan seminary in the diocese. And it wasn't until I was a senior in high school that I was down in the United States, in Connecticut, on Good Friday, at a Capuchin parish. And I saw the Capuchins had a soup kitchen. And I was profoundly impressed by the simplicity and the lifestyle of the friars, and the fact that they were working with people who were forgotten in the society. That convinced me, and I came home to Canada, and I read the life of Francis. In those days, it was Little Flowers of St. Francis, and he just kind of not only caught my fancy, but my heart. That is where I put aside the plan of going to the seminary in London, but I came over to the United States and followed the friars there.
St. Francis is a saint with an incredibly widespread appeal. I mean, it goes far beyond the Catholic Church. I mean, he really is a global figure, isn't he?
Yeah, Francis is a powerful personality in many, many places. For about 12 years, I worked in Geneva, Switzerland, at the United Nations and on human rights. And it was an interesting experience to see that Francis was an easy access for us to many people. They were not so comfortable with us being Roman Catholic community or a Christian group of people. But when they knew that we were Franciscan, it was, oh, okay. Francis has an incredible acceptance among different world religions, environmental groups, many different people.
You mentioned their environmental groups, and of course, as we well know, St. Francis is honoured as the saint of ecology and patron saint of animals. And this love of creation is something that is very much part of the Franciscan ethos, isn't it? Could you explain?
Francis is a lot of times is consigned to a bird bath, and he's seen as just a kind of a plaster sweet figure standing in the middle of a shell of water, and hopefully birds will come by and visit. There's a much more dynamic energy in his environmental concerns. Part of it was when he left his family, and that was a very abrupt and a very painful separation. And he went out into the wilderness, so to speak. He found that over a period of time, that the woods and the earth and the water and the fire, they protected him and they fed him and they nourished him just like a family would, to the point where Francis became so one in interdependence with the nature around him that he called the other forces around him brother and sister and mother earth, that we are intricately involved and intertwined with this, all the parts of creation. It was a symbiotic union in the universe. He also saw that the universe was an expression of God, God's love, God's care, God's beauty, God's intelligence. And so everything spoke to him of that wonderful God that he was pursuing and who he felt was pursuing him.
And very briefly, how do you seek to build on that ecological message, this love of creation, and preach this in contemporary society?
Well, I find that it's very easy to talk about environmental concerns today because people in all different parts of the world are becoming alerted to the problems that are there. Many of these problems are things that we have created. So it's not just to go out and talk about trees and plants, but it's also to draw people into the mystery of God. All these, the environment, the ecological issues are not independent of our spirituality.
I was speaking to Father John Quigley, a Franciscan priest and human rights activist.